We're going over the life of Abraham, a man who lived about 4,000 years ago. And you might think, what value is there in studying the life of someone who lived so long ago? Well, the truth is, God is the same. Men and women are basically the same. We have the same needs, emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs. And so there are many good lessons you can learn as you read these different lives in the Scripture. Even though they lived long ago, you'll find, you know, as you read some of the things that happen, you think, well, that's just like my life too. These are things I'm going through. We're going to read Genesis 16, and we're going to start reading verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong is upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now, we stop there and just notice a little bit about this. Now, you might wonder, what is going on here? Well, what is going on was, here are two people who knew the Lord, who'd been promised to have a child. Abram and Sarah had been told, you will have a son. The years passed. And now they're getting quite elderly and no son. Abram at this time is about 85 years old. Now some men at 85 can still have children. I read of an author fairly recently who at 84 had a child. So it is possible. Now, women, when they get to be 75 or so, you know, they've given up hope long ago if they have no children of having children then. So here, this is their condition. He's about 85, she's maybe about 75, and they haven't had a son. Now, if they just believed God, they would have hung on there, and Abram did. But Sarah's faith began to waver, and now she's influenced by our culture. What do people do in the world if they can't have children? And today it doesn't matter. Women sometimes think children are a nuisance. You're blessed if you have none, you know. But in those days, for a woman not to have a child was a terrible burden. It was a reproach. And people longed to have children. If you couldn't have a child as a woman, a man could divorce you for that reason, or else, you know, take another wife or take a concubine, as he did in this case. They wanted to have children, especially a son to carry on the name and to carry on the family traditions and so forth. So here at 85 and 75, they have no son. But God said, you're going to have a son. Abraham has believed God. But here now, Sarah's faith is wavering. And she says, well, you know what happens, what people do around us. If a woman can't have a child, she'll give one of the servants to her husband and say, go ahead, have sex with her, and, you know, if she has a child, then I'll adopt it, and, you know, it'll be mine, and I'll get a child that way through another woman. And so she says, I've got Hagar here. She's an Egyptian. She was a slave girl. They had slaves in those days. And she said to Abram, you know, please, go ahead, sleep with her. And if she gets pregnant and she has a child, that'll be my child. And I'll get a child one way or the other. So Abraham yields to his wife. And he yields to culture rather than standing on principle and on faith. And we all feel pressures like that. And Sarah here was really feeling that pressure. And so she strongly urged Abram to do this. And women have a tremendous influence over their husbands. And we were talking about this last night at our meeting and talking about how important, therefore, that you get a good wife. You get one who'll be with you spiritually and be a reinforcer of your values rather than trying to push you in a different direction. And this was a case where Sarah, even though she was a woman of faith, where she wavered in her faith, it seemed so impossible for her now to have a child. She said, look, I'm old. It's not going to happen. Abram could have said, well, God said it's going to happen. But Sarah's faith is wavered. So she gives Hagar to Abram, and he sleeps with her, and she ends up pregnant. Now, things get really complicated. She gets pregnant. She's the slave girl. And yet now she's pregnant and her master couldn't become pregnant and she looks down on her, scorns her. She says, you know, I'm pregnant. You couldn't get pregnant. I'm going to have a child by your husband. You couldn't have a child by your husband. And in attitude or maybe even in words, she despised her mistress. And she was proud and she was glorying in the fact I'm going to have a baby by your husband. So things got a little bit heavy in that household, and Sarah now is very unhappy. And she says, my wrong be upon you, you know. Well, I was maybe wrong, but you were wrong too. And now she's pregnant, and now she despises me. And looking down on me, well, the Lord judged between us, you know. So here in this situation, she's blaming Abram. And he could have blamed her. He could have said, well, you told me to do it. You put pressure on me. And now she says, you shouldn't have done it. You know, now I'm despised by her. Now we've got a problem in our family. And so there was blame being cast, and there was feeling and unhappiness. So, when you are influenced by your culture instead of by the Word of God, and you start to run your life by that, you're going to run into problems. If you're married, and your marriage at times has some rocky times in it, it's very easy then to maybe think, well, everyone else is getting a divorce. There are other women in the world. There's probably another woman in the world that could make me happier than this one I've got or this husband I've got. Maybe I should get a divorce. And you're feeling the pressure of the culture around because this is the atmosphere in which we live. And at times like that, you have to be guided by the Word of God and stand on principle. And you have to say to yourself, look, I'm married. I'm going to work at it. We're committed to one another. We may have our stormy times, but we're not quitting. And you're guided by the Word of God rather than by the culture around you. But culture has tremendous influence, and a lot of churches are giving into the culture around them as far as music, as far as dress, as far as sex outside of marriage, as far as, you know, living together without marriage, all of these things, they say in the evangelical churches as a whole, there's no difference in the lifestyle of a lot of people who say, I'm a Christian, from the world around them. And what's the reason? The reason is they're influenced by their culture instead of the Word of God. So this is an example where we ought to learn that from. Don't let culture direct your life. Well, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen is some unhappiness that's continued even today. Hater, you feel kind of sorry for the girl. After all, she's property. And she is used. And now she's abused. Says that Sarah began to be rough to with her. I don't know what was involved. Maybe that she abused her verbally. Maybe she did physically at times. But Sarah was a frustrated, angry woman, jealous, and she knew it was her own fault in a way, but she was a frustrated person and taking it out on Hagar. So Hagar, it says, fled from her. And we start with verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. This is on the way down to Egypt. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarah. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you're with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He'll be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. She called the name of the Lord who called to her, you are the God who sees, for she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore the well was called Beer Laharai. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Beren. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named the son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Now the angel finds her, she's by a spring, and the angel of God, it says. Now, some believe this was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus. And others believe it was just a prominent angel who was bringing the message of God. Either way, this is the message of God. And the angel says, sure, what are you doing here? Where are you going? What's happening? And so Hagar tells him, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I'm leaving Sarah and Abraham. And the angel says to her, return and submit. Return and submit. And that's advice sometimes that's good for us as Christians to take. You may be in some kind of adverse circumstances, and you may be tempted to run. And it may be that the Lord would say to you, return and submit. Submit to the circumstances and trust the Lord and just do what's right in that situation. And this was the advice given here to Hagar. It may be that you're in a situation, a work situation, and you feel you're not being treated fairly or whatever. And many times I think the Lord would say to you, return and submit. Learn to obey. Learn to do a good job. Life isn't always easy. Maybe a marriage that isn't the most ideal, you think. And a woman may feel, well, I want out of this marriage. I think the Lord would say to you, unless he's physically abusive and, you know, completely unfaithful, I think the Lord would say, return and submit and work at your relationship. So this was the advice given to Hagar. And the angel says to her, you're going to have a lot of descendants through this son, Ishmael. You're going to call him Ishmael because the Lord has heard you. And that name Ishmael means heard of God. God had heard her prayer and her cry to him. And it talks about this man, Ishmael. He says he's going to be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. And so there's a prediction here concerning him, and he's going to have a lot of descendants. And today, the Arab peoples claim Ishmael, of course, as their ancestor. And when you read of what's going on in Iraq and some other places, you think, yeah, they're kind of wild people. very prone to kill and so forth. And certainly, they're in hostility, a condition of hostility toward Israel. And you'll see these two now. You're going to see Ishmael, you're going to see Isaac coming along, and there's going to be conflict, and the conflict has continued now down through the years, even to this year, 2006. The Arabs hate Israel. The Arabs would like to see Israel exterminated. There's hostility, and he mentions here, he's going to every man's hand against him, and there's going to be this hostility. He's going to have many descendants, and there are a lot of Arabs today, and those who claim Ishmael as their father. But she goes back. Wasn't easy. The angel told her, go back and submit. Put up with Sarah. And any abuse, and just take it and do what's right. You're going to have a son, and he's going to have many descendants. So it's interesting account there. So at 86 years of age, Abram now has a son, Ishmael, and he doesn't have a son, though, by Sarah. Now, the next chapter, the Lord appears to Abram, and we want to read in chapter 17. Now, this is some time later. Now, Abram is 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. El Shaddai. And he says, I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means the father of many. So his name has changed, and God promises many descendants. He says, I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you were a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout your generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from the people. He has broken thy covenant. And God said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, which means princess, and I will bless her. And also after you, and also give you a son by her, then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife will bear a son. You shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and made him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. And he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So he has Ishmael as a son, but God comes to him, and God says, you know, you're going to have a son by Sarah. I'm going to make you very fruitful. Here you are, an old man. Naturally speaking, you shouldn't expect to have any children, but I'm going to cause you to be the father of many peoples. Abraham is going to be your name. And so there's a promise here of many, many descendants. There's the promise of the land. He says, I'll give you the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And so he gives him this promise. Many descendants. Sarah's going to have a child. You're going to be a father of many. You're going to have the land of Canaan as your everlasting possession. And God says, I'm going to give you a sign of the covenant. I'm making a covenant with you, Abraham. I'm promising you these things. I'm linking myself with you in a special way. Out of all the peoples on the earth, in a special way, I'm linking myself with you to bring blessing to the rest of the world. And so he speaks of this covenant between you, me and you, and your descendants after you. And he says, the sign of the covenant is going to be circumcision. And so the Jews, until today, circumcise their boys the eighth day after their birth. Circumcise the eighth day. This is a sign of being a Jew, of being in the covenant. This is a sign of the covenant with Israel. Now there's another sign that he gives, and I want to go over to Exodus chapter 31, and God later spoke of this sign of the covenant, but Exodus 31 and verse 16, therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And so he gave them the sign of circumcision. This is a reminder, you're in this covenant relationship with God. He gave them the Sabbath day. He says, this is going to be a reminder too, that you are now, the children of Israel, are in this special relationship with God. Now, it doesn't mean no one else could be saved. Wherever people turned to God in genuine faith, they were saved. Job was saved. And he may have lived somewhere in this period of time. He was not a Jew. So that we don't want to think here that God is choosing this nation and that means no one else can be saved. He chose Israel to be a blessing to the world. He chose Israel to be the channel of his word. The scripture came through Israel. And the Messiah came through Israel. So God wanted to bless the whole world through Israel. And the sign, the two signs here that are, mark the covenant with Israel in a special way, is circumcision for the men and the Sabbath. This marks Israel in that special relationship. Now, it wasn't given to the church. Circumcision was never prescribed for the church, for Christians. The Sabbath was never prescribed. There's nowhere in the New Testament where God says to the church, keep the Sabbath. In special ways connected with Israel, a sign of the covenant. So people today, if you're a Christian, and you know, some will say, well, we got to keep the Sabbath. If you're going to go back to keeping the law, then you're really saying, I'm going to function as a Jew, and I'm going to keep all the commandments of the Old Testament then, without dietary rules and everything else. And we don't believe this is what God wants for the church. So you have these signs of the covenant. There's this, the sign in the boy. He is in this relationship as part of Israel with God. They remember the Sabbath every 6 days. If you go to Jerusalem, for example, they have 3 holy days in the week, about half of the week. Friday is the Muslims' holy day. Saturday is the Jews' holy day. Sunday is the Christians' holy day. So the Sabbath is connected with Israel. Don't let anyone talk you into believing you have to keep the Sabbath that belongs especially to Israel. Now, the church kept the first day of the week as a day of worship. It called it the Lord's Day, time when they came together, a time when they encouraged one another, they had teaching and so forth. But the Sabbath especially belongs to Israel. Now, the Lord says to them, to Abram here, I want you to be circumcised, all those in your house to be circumcised. And then he says to Abram, you know, you've kind of given up on Sarah, haven't you? She's given up. But God says, listen, as for Sarah, your wife, we're going to call her Sarah, princess. She's going to give birth to a son who's going to have kings come through his line. And so you had all the kings of Israel, a descendant from Sarah. Call her princess. And God says, I'll bless her. I'm going to give you a son by her. I will bless her and she'll be a mother of many kings of people shall be from her. So here now God once again says to Abram, you know, I told you this before and your faith has been wavering. You went ahead, listened to Sarah some 13, 14 years ago and you have a son now by Hagar, but Sarah's still going to have a baby. Next year about this time, she's going to be having a baby. She's going to give birth. 90 years old, she's going to have a baby. Abraham falls on his face, and he in his heart he says, oh, is a child going to be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And then he says to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before. You know, after all, he is my son. Maybe he could be the one. We have to say, I know you promised us years ago, but, you know, I really have to say the years have passed and it looks so impossible. Sarah's old. And I'm old. And you say, we're going to have a baby boy. And, how about Ishmael, Lord? How about having a little give here? And, let's have him be the one who'll be my son and heir. God said, no. No. He said, Sarah, your wife is going to bear you a son. You're going to call his name Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. He's going to be the one that's going to be in this covenant relationship, not Ishmael. And as for Ishmael, he says, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him. He's going to have descendants too. And I'll make him a great nation. But my covenant I'm going to establish with you. Isaac's going to be the one, not Ishmael. And so there's this promise. Now the Lord says, so I want you to circumcise. And what stands out about Abram is his prompt obedience. It says that very same day, he says to all the men in his household, and to Ishmael, his son by Hagar, we're all going to be circumcised. Now, circumcision for an adult is very painful. Babies get over it more quickly, but for an adult to be circumcised, imagine a man 100 years old, now he's going to be circumcised, and... But it says that very same day. Absolute obedience. Now, Abraham at times, you know, struggled with this area of faith. Sarah did too. But basically, they believed God. They trusted God. In this case, when God said something to Abraham, he said, okay, I'm going to do it. And that very same day, he circumcised all the men in his household. He says, you know, line up. They're all going to be circumcised this very same day. A tremendous example of just obeying the Lord. Now, there's no way you can honor the Lord more than just by simply doing what he says. We make excuses. And I've seen people, you know, say, well, I love the Lord, and yet they're just disobeying him. If you're concerned, if you say you love the Lord, if you say I've accepted him, then you just ought to do what he says. Obey him. If the Lord Jesus died for you, if he poured out his life's blood for you, if he was willing to do that for you, and you've accepted him, and you know you're saved, the best thing you can do is just do what he says. Obey him. Because really, it's for our good. You know, it's really for our good. Anything the Lord says to you is for your good. He's a wise father. He's a loving father. He wants the best for you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He wants you to be a happy, growing Christian. Now, Mary said to the servants at the marriage of Cana, she said, concerning Jesus, who was there, she said, whatever he says to you, do it. It's good advice today. Whatever he says to you, do it. You're reading the Bible, you're hearing the Bible taught, and you realize, well, there's something I'm not doing. I ought to do it. Do it. Abraham, that very same day, was circumcised with all the men in his household. Now, Abraham was justified by faith. Abram believed God, it says, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The moment Abram believed God, he was right with God. He was in a right relationship with God. He was one now who could know that he was right with God. If he died, he was going to the good place, not to the place of punishment for sin. This was by faith. But that faith began to show itself in his life. How did it show itself? He just began obeying God. God said something to him, he did it. He was marked by obedience. That should mark us too. James says faith without works is dead. If you say you have faith, there's no change in your life, you better do some examination of your faith. Genuine faith saves you. It will save you where you are. But genuine faith will not leave you where you are. If you're a drunk, you can be saved without being sober for 10 years. God will save you right that day. But God will not leave you in your sin. And you see that over and over emphasized in Scripture. There's a lot of real false teaching in this area that makes it sound as if you can receive Jesus and then you live any kind of life you wish and you'll be forgiven. It doesn't matter. You'll go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. Isn't what the Scripture says. Scripture says if you're not living for God, if you're not interested in pleasing God, you better check on your faith. Abraham believed God. Says that very same day, God says, okay, God, Abraham, I want you and your family, all the men in your family, get circumcised. He didn't wait around a week or two and say, well, maybe, let's see, I need to think this one over. That very same day, he was circumcised. Beautiful example of genuine faith, faith that works. And so if God speaks to you about something in your life, about being more wholehearted for the Lord, do it. Believe. And then obey. We sometimes sing that hymn, trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So Abraham's a beautiful example here of genuine faith and faith that results in obedience.